Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Vinson. That's Paul Schultz. And nothing you're about to hear is true.
That's right.
This is likely to be a throwback show because we, A, it's not our regular night for recording.
Nope.
Two, we're starting pretty late, so we can't really go, well, it is Friday night.
Yeah.
Well, but the sheets. Okay, here's what you got to know about tonight. All right. And I'm just going to lay it all out on the table. I realize my wife listens to the show, so I do know that she's going to hear this. She washed our sheets today.
Yeah, I know where this is going.
And several things happen on the days that the sheets get washed. Normally, a pillowcase gets lost, and I'm blamed for it, usually, even if it's not my pillowcase, because somehow, either the pillowcase didn't make it to the washer to begin with, which is, of course, my fault, or it did not make it back from the dryer. Again, of course, that's my fault, right? Or it did make it back from the dryer, but it is all wadded up in one of the corners of the elastic fitted sheet. And we've already put the elastic fitted sheet on the bed. So now it could be anywhere under there, right? And of course, whose fault is that?
It's your fault, man.
It's my fault. Yeah, you're playing along. That's good. Okay, so that happens. The other thing that happened today that I never thought of before, apparently she was trying to take one of the pillowcases off of the pillow, and somebody, I don't know who, put the pillowcase on inside out, and it was one with a zipper on it. I realize those of you at home who has a zipper on their pillowcase, probably a question you're asking yourself, right? Do you have zippers on your pillowcases?
Not anymore. I used to, but not anymore.
That's called a liner. You put that shit on there when you sweat, when you sleep, and it causes your pillow to get all stinky, and you sleep with another human being in your bed who doesn't like your stinky pillowcase. So you got to put that on there. If you happen to put it on inside out and somehow you manage to get the zipper closed. For those of you that don't have zip up, imagine a sleeping bag that zips all the way up, not just up to your neck, but all the way around, right? And you're inside the sleeping bag and you zip it all the way up. Of course, it's all the way zipped up now, right? But if you are on the outside of that sleeping bag, you would have a hell of a time. Like if I were choking, like who knows why I'm eating in my sleeping bag. If I'm eating, let's say, you know, like let's say I'm eating bratwurst, and you know how they kind of have that stringy casing
in your sleeping bag.
In my sleeping bag, let's say, and it's not a normal sleeping bag; it's a sleeping bag that you zip all the way up. Right.
Right.
I'm painting a picture here, and I'm eating really natural casing because I don't want to eat that weird whatever. I don't know what they make the casing out of when it's not natural casing, but I want pig intestine around bratwurst. I'm eating it. And I get a little piece stuck in my, it is delicious. I get a little piece stuck in my throat. I'm choking and I'm trying to tell you, but I can't because you can't talk when you're choking. But I am doing the international sign for choking, which of course you can't see.
You can't see.
But you figure out that I'm in some sort of distress. You're like, all I got to do is unzip the sleeping bag and get him out, figure out what distress he's in, and then take care of the situation, right? Problem is, the little flippy thing that you use to pull on a zipper, that's inside the sleeping bag with me. How are you going to get me out of there?
Cut you out.
You have to cut me out, won't you? Yes. It's like, just get away from the side of the sleeping bag. I'm going to cut you out.
Somehow, if you're choking and you accidentally get stabbed on the and being rescued, I don't think you're going to mind so much being stabbed.
That would be on the list of things that sucked at that moment. That would be pretty far down the list. Like five or six at least. One of the ones would be, why did I zip the sleeping bag all the way up before I started eating the bratwurst?
No one's getting this bratwurst. You're like zipping it up.
Everybody knows if you're going to eat bratwurst, especially with the natural casing, you don't zip the sleeping bag all the way up. Especially when you have one of those weird sleeping bags that zips all the way around. Anyway, so that's what happened with the pillowcase. Except instead of me in a sleeping bag eating bratwurst, there was a regular pillow inside the pillow liner zipped all the way up. And not to be too ironic or not to put too fine of a pun on it, but she aired that dirty laundry on Facebook.
I thought it was funny. I immediately figured you did it.
Well, who else in this house would have done that? The fact that she's like, is this a practical joke? And I'm like, yeah, I did that back on April Fool's Day. And we ain't washed our sheets since April 1st. So the third thing that happens when we do the sheets, and this is really getting back to my original point, which was why, even though it's a Friday night, you know, I can't take this recording on for too long, is the other thing that happens when the sheets get washed around here is the bed don't get made until we're exhausted and it's time to go to bed. Then we walk in the bedroom and go, ah, shit, we didn't make the bed. Hopefully somebody thought to put the sheets in the dryer, because otherwise we're up for another 45 minutes waiting for the sheets to dry, right?
Change the channel, Marge!
I was thinking our Facebook question of the day should revolve around household chores.
That's a good idea. How about favorite household chore to make somebody else do or something like that?
Favorite household chore to avoid. Got it. Post. Done. It's out there. What would mine be? I don't even know. I'll have to think about that a minute. Do you have one in mind already, or did you?
Oh, yeah. There's several, but there's one in particular that I absolutely despise doing that I make my kids do.
What's that?
And it's silly. I loathe emptying the dishwasher.
Really?
I hate it. So I make my son do it. He knows the tone, too. I'll be like, boy. He's like, ugh. It's like, because he knows.
This interests me. Why is this?
I filled it up. Why do I gotta empty the of the dang thing?
Only I didn't say dang. Well, that is interesting, because I told my wife at one point during our marriage, I said, you know, my least favorite part of doing the dishes is emptying the dishwasher. And for me, it's not that I filled it up. Why do I have to empty it? I don't care who filled it up. I hate emptying it. And I think what it has to do with is the tedium of it all.
Yeah.
Like, and the lack of satisfaction, I think.
Well, you get so much satisfaction in seeing just how much you can put in there.
Right.
Just to take it back out is just anticlimactic.
It'd be like if the game Tetris, okay, worst, least addictive game ever, Tetris. Only the reverse of Tetris.
Thank you.
It's like, okay, here's this block of, it's like a square block, but it's made up of all these little shapes. Your job is to, one shape at a time, take it apart. And then do what? And then just throw the shapes somewhere.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Nothing satisfying about that. It's like, if I can look at a sink full of dirty dishes and I don't enjoy, like, it's not like I go, ooh, I could eat this steak or I could do that sink full of dirty dishes. It's not like I could make sweet love to this beautiful woman, or I could empty that sink of dirty dishes. Oh, I think I'll go for the dishes. It's not like that, but there's something satisfying about starting with a full sink of dirty dishes and then getting done, wiping down the counter, looking around, going, ah.
That's right.
But the emptying the dishwasher, forget that.
I turned into that guy from A Beautiful Mind. I'll see like a sink full of dishes, and I'm doing the math trying to see how much of that shit I can put in the dishwasher.
Yeah, you're just seeing, you're like the, when the numbers just start coming alive, and the dishes, like you're seeing the dishes go into the dishwasher. You're like,
yep.
You're like the Terminator, like there's, or Tony Stark, you know, you're like there's 18 belligerents, you know, and you just set it all up in your mind, and then you just fire your weapon once and it kills them all. Or who's that guy, the Hawk or Eagle Eye, or what was the guy's name in Captain America Civil War? And he had his own little pet drone, and he was a black dude. And
That's Falcon.
Falcon, yeah. Right? And he would like set it all up, and he'd be like, oh, there's a guy there, there's a guy there, there's a guy there, and he's going there. Boom, done. Dishes in the dishwasher, starting it up. That sound is the sound of dishes getting clean. So making somebody else empty the dishwasher, I like it. You know what? Funny thing is, my youngest daughter enjoys cleaning toilets. I don't get that. I don't enjoy it.
You figure out what happened, and you let me know.
I will. I'll ask her.
What a time.
Oh, I went over to a buddy's house tonight. My family went to the Indy 500 track to watch qualifying, go through the garages, meet famous people, that kind of thing. And they had a good time.
I caught your oldest t-shirt, by the way. That was pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. She loves that. That's her favorite shirt.
That's awesome.
Motorhead. Constance got that shirt when we went and saw Motorhead back in the day.
Yeah, I still got both of mine.
Everything louder than everything else.
You betcha.
And there she is with Hinch, standing there with Jim Hinchcliffe. So the Dad's Club, we had our annual rendezvous last weekend. And, you know, we did what we normally do. We stood around in the sun, got sunburned, drank a bunch of beer, got dehydrated, all woke up the next day, which this year was on Sunday. Usually it's on Saturday. It was a mistake to do it on a Sunday because Monday was very difficult. But there was beer left over, so one of the guys took it to his house, put it in his fridge, and today after work, I ran over there to... have a few beers with him, hang out and talk. So his dad shows up. So this guy's 54. His dad's probably...
You're like, his dad showed up and we had to stash the beer, you know?
Yeah. So his dad got drunk. But the dad, his son's like, hey, Dad, how you doing? How was your movie? He's like, oh, you went to the movies? Yeah, I went to the movies. He's like... He's recently widowed. He's like, I like to go to the matinee because there's nobody else in there. And this time there was probably about 12 other people in there. And I was thinking, is that like a dozen or is that like a half a dozen? And I didn't say anything. It's like two half dozens. But he goes, so it's like, how was the movie? Yeah, it's pretty good. It was like, what was it? He's like, Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, oh, was that good? He's like, yeah, it was good. You know, there was action. It's like, really? I didn't realize there was action in that movie. So I was wondering, Guardians of the Galaxy. So I think I was vaguely aware that was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Movie about superheroes. There's a group of superheroes.
Yeah.
Apparently not just one superhero could take care of whatever the evil was.
Right.
In this one. Have you seen it yet? Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh, yeah.
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 What's this one about?
2 hours. Rim shot. Well, I don't want to ruin it because it is just out. I mean, it's been out for 2 weeks. Well,
who's in
it, though?
I mean, which superheroes are in this one?
Have you seen the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie? With Chris Pratt.
Oh, the guy from Parks and Recreation?
Yeah.
Is Aubrey Page in this one, too?
Unfortunately, no. But it's got that Zoe Scandalalia, obviously her name. She, the green chick, she more than makes up for it. There's a raccoon in it and a tree.
My plan was to see the second one first and then go back and watch.
Well, you're right on schedule then.
Okay, good. Guardians of the Galaxy. Is this Marvel? Marvel, right?
Yes.
So, which heroes are in this one?
Oh, it's Star-Lord, Gamora, Drax the Destroyer, Groot, Rocket Raccoon, and there's two or three others that are added to this list this time around.
So this isn't one of those like all-star like
no, it is
all
not
these superheroes that we all know about, right?
Guardians of the Galaxy and Ant-Man proved one thing. You make a good movie, it doesn't matter who the heroes are or if the audience knows who they are, because they'll learn who they are. Because that's exactly what happened with Guardians. There was like, people couldn't believe they were making a movie about characters nobody knew about. Well, by the end of the movie, they more than knew about them. And now they're like some of the most popular characters around because of the movies.
Well, I mean, that's how it used to be with movies, right? I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you didn't have to go, okay, we're going to make a movie, but we got to make sure everybody knows the characters first.
Right. Right.
You just go, we're going to make a good movie. We're going to have some original characters. Yeah, maybe they're based on, you know, some previously done fiction that there are people who know who they are, but they don't have to be massively known for it to be a good movie.
Right. Take Jaws, for instance. Yeah. You know, people read the book, but then the movie came out and, like, everybody saw the movie.
Yeah.
I tried to explain to my kids that one day about how this movie, meaning Jaws, almost destroyed tourism for about three seasons because nobody would go to the coasts and get in the water, you know, because yeah. we were suddenly aware of sharks.
And, you know, it would not be the case today. If it came out today, because it created this whole, you know, and I don't want to overstate it, but it almost broke new ground in terms of not only is this a scary movie, but this will cause you to be scared in your real life.
Yes. Well, case in point, a friend of mine, he's a retired Marine and supports the troops. And he said one night, him and a couple of his buddies, they were on a boat.
I'm on a boat.
They were in the middle of an ocean, and they decided they were going to, you know, sneak out, you know, go swimming. So there they are, swimming in the water in the middle of the night in this big ocean. And he's like, all I could think of was, duh-dum. He's like, so I got back on the boat.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to get eaten by a shark.
I know, right?
So it created a whole mystique about that, you know, stuff happened in that movie that we still think is gospel when it comes to sharks. I mean, they're not going to like they're not like the shark in Jaws, but we think they are.
Going to need a bigger boat.
We're getting a bigger boat, right? Jaws happens to be my favorite scary movie of all time, so I'm a bit of a fan. I managed to talk my daughter, my oldest, into watching it with me. She went into it kicking and screaming. She was just like, yeah, kind of, you know, because Dad wants her to watch a movie, so it's probably dumb. Well, it was just her and I that day. I sat down and I put it in the DVD player. She didn't say a word through the whole movie. And then when it was over, she goes, can we watch it again? And I'm like, let's eat first and come back.
Yeah.
So she was, yeah, hook, line, and sinker, man.
Pardon the pun.
No.
In a little cafe, just the other side of the border. She belonged to Batman Jose, and I knew, yes, to dance in my arms, she felt so inviting. And I just couldn't resist her, just a little kiss, so exciting. And I heard the guitar player say, Vamos, Jose's on his way. And I knew, yes I knew, I should run, but then I heard her say, yeah, come a little bit closer, you're my kind of man, so big and so strong, come a little bit closer, I'm all alone, and the night is so long. And the music stopped when I looked, the cafe was empty.
Funny, today we were talking about the music that we're going to play at the we're doing the dinner that we sold for $30,000
mm-hmm.
at the auction, and so the guy that's in charge of the dinner has been talking to the people that bought it,
mm-hmm.
basically the wife of the guy that, you know, made the money, and we proposed a hoedown. You know, hoe up, hoe down, and like a, you know, sort of like an upscale hoedown, right? And so she called it mm-hmm. a champagne cookout. And we're like, yeah, that's kind of what we're talking about. And we're like, music. What do you?
Also say, a Beck album,
champagne cookout.
Champagne I think
it's
cookout. Part of,
it's certainly a lyric.
That's right.
So you know we're. So I'm in charge of the drinks, and you know I'm coming up with these ideas. There'll mm-hmm. be a bonfire after the dinner, so I'm talking to a guy about some sort of a s'mores cocktail, which would be kind of like a marshmallow floating on spiked hot chocolate or something like that.
Ooh!
And so he was talking to her about the music, right? And our idea was, oh, we got to get a like a little bluegrass. You know, ensemble to just play, you know, just Southern type music, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And her comment was, well, I'm just not a fan of country. And he's like, so this is the conversation we're having today, sitting around in this guy's front yard drinking beers. And he goes, what do you mean you don't like country? Like, Zac Brown kind of country? She's like, no, I mean like that twangy stuff, you know, like Merle Haggard, that kind of stuff. And I just sat there for a second and I was like, I said, you know, something happened the late 70s, early 80s. Something happened to country. And I said, it's never been the same since. No,
I can tell you exactly what happened, but go on.
Well, they were like, yeah, I know, right? And I go, and I said, I don't think we're on the same page here, because I think whatever happened, I think you guys think was a good thing. They're like, yeah, I mean, Zac Brown and Florida Georgia Line and George Strait and I don't know who all, right? And I go, no, I'm talking about Hank Williams, Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, that's country. And they're like, you like twangy country? I was like, I don't call that twangy country, all right?
Me and Atticus call it hillbilly chase music.
Hillbilly chase music.
No, Kenny Rogers bought country music. That's what happened. Country music moved from Nashville to New York City, and Kenny Rogers essentially bought Nashville. He's that damn rich.
Somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even.
That's why outlaw country was not in New York City. That was the real deal. That was the response, a rebellion against the New York City country music, was Waylon, Willie,
and all the boys.
They were the response to, they had careers prior to that, but in response to moving to New York City, they launched this whole new genre.
Make your urban cowboy.
Uh-huh. Well, you remember when we'd be going to like that little hillbilly church, and they'd be talking about how they'd use the term crossover like in a negative way. Like, Amy Grant, she crossed over. Oh, that's it. She's done. In country music, the term crossover meant more money.
Ooh.
Because it covered both. You could play it on, pop stations and country stations.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai. That's Amy Grant.
Yes. No, don't get me wrong. I would do bad things to Amy Grant. But
you would do things to her. God would look down from heaven and go, oh.
God would look down from heaven and go, that's why I put that hole there.
That's why that's there. You didn't think it was just for...
I'm talking about her ear, man.
God's like, humans are so unimaginative.
That's right.
I should have given them more imagination.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
So I was gonna tell you more stories about my buddy's dad. So he grew up on the river. My buddy's dad did.
Mm-hmm.
So did my buddy. So his dad still lives on the river.
You mean like Mark Twain and things like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean the White River.
Oh.
Anyway, so grew up on the White River, and there are a bunch of people that like live on the river and just make it their home, and they're good people. They're, people of the earth. So I asked the old man, so every time I go down there, I just think, man, this would have been a fun place to grow up. People like get their pontoon boats and you go kayaking, and it just seems like it would be really great. And he goes, yeah, used to be. Like, what do you mean used to be? He's like, well, it ain't as good as it used to be. I mean, now it's like all filling in and everything. They used to keep it cleaned out. There used to be a American Aggregate used to get their gravel from there. And so like, it was like basically a quarry, and then the river would empty into the quarry, and there was like this beautiful, big, beautiful lake, like 30, 40 feet deep. You could go water skiing and stuff, and it was just nice. And now it's just been abandoned, and this the levee has been eroded, and now it's just this shallow, and there's all these plants growing in it. I'm sitting there thinking, so it's becoming what it used to be. It's like nature is...
He's not like, it used to be good before the yuppies all came down here. Used to be good until it turned into a river.
Exactly. It used to be great. He's not going, used to be great, but then the factory came in and they started mining and just all this, and then they just ruined it. No, it's like they stopped ruining it, and now it's not what it used to be. And now I don't know. Hang on, that's my ringtone.
You better get that.
All right, hang on. Hello.
Hey.
Who is this?
It's 130,000-year-old Mastodon.
Woo! What's 130,000-year-old? Well, hello, 130,000-year-old Mastodon. It's nice to talk to you again.
Hey, I was just listening to your show, and I heard you talk about some old white cracker down on the old Cracker River.
No, it's the White River.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway.
Well... You can't just say whatever, 130,000-year-old Mastodon. I mean, it's like, hey, just shut up. Let me talk for a minute. I'm holding the phone up to my microphone as if you wouldn't be able to hear them.
Hey, man, method acting right there.
That's right. I'm a method voice actor.
You're committed.
Yeah. I like that ringtone, though.
I didn't hear the ringtone. When I call you, I can't hear the ringtone. I wasn't talking to you, 130,000-year-old Mastodon. I was talking to my friend Paul. Who's Paul? You know Paul. When you were on the show before, you were talking to Paul. Oh, yeah, Paul. Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. You know. Kids, these millennia. Just don't even know.
When you're talking about kids, you're talking about...
Yeah, I'm talking about kids. Like that old dude you were talking to. Talking about... He wishes the damn factories to come back in and ruin that, like, fuck off that river again. That's my river.
130,000-year-old Mastodon. I'll bet there wasn't even a river there when you were a kid.
What? It was like 20 miles over.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. It was like 20 miles over, and we liked it that way.
Well, you know, when you come on our show, you need to be funny. Right now, you're not being funny.
What do you mean I got to be funny? What do you know about funny? I've been on this earth for 130 millennia. Do you know what a millennia is?
That's Donald Trump's wife, I think.
What? You talking about Melania. I'm talking about millennia.
All right, 130,000-year-old Mastodon. What? Why did you call in?
I'm here to upend human history.
You're going to upend what?
Human history.
Well, I think considering we elected Donald Trump president, I think we're doing a pretty good job of upending human history ourselves. So I think I'm going to hang up on this character. You know, I had this thought today, and there needs to be somebody needs to do a meme with this. And I was like, you know the whole nobody's afraid of a Jew?
Sure.
Right? You're like, hey, Shlomo's going to come kick your ass. I was like, oh, no, Shlomo. Wow, he's going to kick my ass. Until you put a uniform on him. You're like, Mossad, the Israeli military. Right?
We've been talking about that for years.
Yeah. It's the same with the Italians.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same with the Italians. Nobody's afraid of an Italian in a uniform, right? Oh, the Italian army is going to come get me? Ooh, I'm scared. Until they take the uniform off, and it's like, yo, Vinny's coming for you. It's like, right. Vinny.
Setting your cars on fire.
Yeah, putting horse heads in your bed. I was thinking about that with Democrats and Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because... Republicans hate government, right? They're like, oh, government. Get government out of my life. Until you put a uniform on them. They're like, oh, you got to support the troops and the cops and the DEA and the damn TSA at the airport. No, you got to support them and do what they say. Just comply or die, man. Just, you know, the poor black kid that was just trying to get some Skittles and some tea, he should have just done what he was told. Right?
That's right. By a guy who wasn't even a cop but thought he was.
Yeah. But you take that uniform off of them and the Republicans are like, oh, we hate the government. We hate the Social Security. We hate the Medicare. We hate the, what else do they hate? Department of Transportation, Department of Education. Well, the Democrats are exactly the opposite. They love government. Right? They love the idea of government, like, welfare programs, helping the kids, public schools, and all that. Until you put a uniform on them. Troops. Oh, shoot. Military, that's bad. Cops, we don't like cops. So I thought that was kind of a funny thing that I could mention during the show today.
Check and see, we'll interpret them irresponsibly. Come on, baby, don't read the articles. It's headlines.
All right. Before we get too far gone, I got a couple of headlines.
Oh, okay.
All right. This one's from the Gib. Ransomware infects computers worldwide. So you know about that. You know about ransomware, right? You know what that is?
Mm-mm. Well, okay. Yes, I know, but some of our audience might not know.
Oh, good point. Well, ransomware is this thing where you infect, like, let's say you're a hacker.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to monetize your hacking. Well, you implant some sort of virus on a major corporation or a health hospital or something on their computer system, and then you demand money to fix it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be like it'd be like those old James Bond movies where they would like, this is the most dangerous snake in the world. One bite and you will be dead within hours. bite.
And only I have the antidote.
Or it would be like Escape from New York, where they inject him in the neck with that stuff. It's like, now you got 24 hours to go get the president from... You know, that was a weirdly concocted idea. Let's turn Manhattan into a prison.
Hmm.
Like, really? Manhattan's like one of the... Like, it's a lot of really valuable assets on that island.
I think that was the
point. We couldn't just, like, pick an island out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, like the Bikini Atoll or something like that.
We'd have to build all the... Yeah, it's like they destroy museums and all kinds of stuff to build a prison.
Yeah, right? Like American history.
That's part of what makes it like a tragedy or a cautionary tale, I guess.
Well, I know my idea wouldn't make for a good movie, but it'd be much more practical in a real world sense, is what I'm saying. You know who's got to be real happy about the Escape from Fill in the Blank franchise?
Hmm.
Chicago. Because, you know, New York was destroyed to make a prison.
Mm-hmm.
Los Angeles was destroyed by an earthquake and then turned into a prison. That makes Chicago the biggest city in the country, right?
That's right.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, ransomware.
For ransomware.
So, ransomware. So it turns out you can just put any word in front of where, and it makes it into something.
Hmm. Underwear. Yeah, that works.
Oh, here's one. Also from the CB. Fiery exchanges in Iran election debate. All right. I don't know much about world politics. One thing I do know is they don't have debates in Iran. Well, they do. They're really short. I mean, what would the debate in Iran be about? I think women should be killed for not wearing their burqas. Like, duh. We all agree to that. Well, yeah, but I meant they should be made to suffer first. Well, that's a bridge too far. Kill the infidel. Is that a fiery debate in Iran? Or do I just not understand Iranian politics? Or am I just buying the propaganda that the U.S. government is trying to feed me, and Iran is actually a liberal democracy with a very healthy, open election system, and I've just been led to believe differently?
That would be hysterical if that were the case. You know, they're over there and they can't figure out what the hell's going wrong over here. They're like, we don't get it. You guys gave us this. You know, we set it all up, and why can't you get it right? They're sitting there on their chaise lounges out in the sun, you know, with their big umbrellas, dressed up in their bathrobes.
They're having debates about should we play hardball with the U.S. or should we send missionaries there to... We should send election observers. Is it Olive Branch? Is it...
Maybe that's what their fiery debate is about.
That's right. The, how can we best help the U.S.?
Change the channel, Marge.
All right, let's check out our Facebook question of the day.
All right.
John DeFazzi says laundry. Constance Wilhair Vinson says dishes.
I'm sensing a trend.
That ain't no lie. She does not like to do dishes. That's for sure. Shannon Williams says putting laundry away.
Yep, that's true. I can vouch for that.
How are you able to vouch for that?
Well, for first time listeners, long time callers, she and I used to date.
Oh.
That's all I want to say. She absolutely hated it.
Wendy Swank, vacuuming. I actually like vacuuming. It's one of those things.
I love vacuuming.
It's like mowing the grass. It's like you can see progress.
Yeah, look what it does to your rug, you know, your carpet. You could have like the messiest house in the world, but if you vacuum your carpet, it's 50% cleaner.
It's like how many people listening right now are going, how dirty is your, do you let your carpet get? You can see. Like
when I was signing my lease recently, I was rereading the laws and bylaws, and one of the things it said was you're required to electronically vacuum your carpet at least once a week. I'm like, you gotta tell people to do that?
You gotta tell people to do that, and you gotta tell them it's gotta be electronic.
Yes. The other one, my favorite one though, was tinfoil on the windows. We're not allowed to do that.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of hoity-toity place are you in?
Which means somebody did it at one time. They went, no, let's not have that happen.
Ken Collison says, clean the toilet. Maybe I'll send my daughter over there. Nan Miller says, anything with clean. Oh, hang on. I have to close my eyes while I'm saying this. Anything with cleaning products. The smell drives me crazy. I'm going to make this part up. She didn't say this, but I can imagine she was thinking it. Plus, it's bad for the environment. I don't blame her, man. You know, fucking chemicals. Dwayne Long says all of them, but mostly anything inside.
That's all of them.
Yeah,
that's
pretty much all of them.
The word is household. Unless you're living like on the plains, unless you're the 130,000 year old mastodon.
What is this? He's like clockwork. What?
Man, back in my day, all of our chores were outside.
Okay, I get it. I'm hanging up.
Jeez,
he's like, we get it. You're old. All right, Mary Koselke says dishes.
Hmm.
She also, I'm looking at her profile picture. She has one of those little frame things on there that says, I have a pre-existing condition. Should we ask her what it is?
Yes, ask her what it is. Say, Paul wants to know what it is.
Paul would like to know what your pre-existing condition is. Go.
Go.
Ooh, that'll be next week's question of the day.
Oh, hey, like, yeah.
What's your pre-existing condition? Go. Oh, man.
I'll write that down. That's perfect.
Yeah, you write that down. All right, thank you for answering. Thank you for listening. Hey, Paul.
Hmm.
What's your favorite household chore to make somebody else do?
We already covered it earlier.
That's right. That's true. Yeah, but what about people that are just joining us? What about 130,000-year-old mastodons who are just joining?
Are you kidding me? He's been listening. He's been listening since the beginning, waiting to call in.
Yeah, that's true. I turned my phone off. I turned off the ringer. He'll probably, now he's going to be blowing up my phone all week. Like, why you didn't take my call? I'll be like, why are you talking like a black person? You probably take that out. I probably went too far there.
Change the channel, Marge.
All right. Hey, I think we have a show here, don't you?
I think we have something.
It's true. We have something. Oh, that was all right. It was all right. I just want to thank doitindieradiohour.com for mentioning us in their show last week. I think we picked up 2 or 3 listeners, and then we lost about 6. So you know,
we pick up listeners the way, like, the rusty white van picks up hitchhikers.
Rusty white, that's funny.
We have candy, and we need help moving a couch. And we have a puppy.
All right. Before I go, I just want to tell our listeners, and you as well. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Maybe we'll talk about it next week if it's worth it. Go to YouTube and type in Ursula Martinez Hanky Panky. And you can thank me later.
I'm doing that after the show.
That having been said, thanks for listening. Go to don'tpanicradioshow.com. Leave a comment. Tell a friend. Share. Do all that stuff. Because for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing just heard is true. True.